B&E with you. It is a Wednesday. That means we're dragging you up over the hump. It's going to be 97 degrees today. It's all right. We're watching events in Tokyo. We got men's volleyball here. These dudes can jump out of the gym, man. This is men's volleyball. Brazil and who are they playing? Can't really see that. Republic of China. Okay, China. But those dudes, we're talking some athletes, man. I know we get on Trey Elling for his sand volleyball acumen, but these dudes are...
He's a real amateur, though. He's just a chump.
These dudes are like 6'8", and they can fly above the rim. It's unbelievable to watch them.
I guarantee you, Trey Elling is just barely getting above the net, just getting over the top of the net.
With his slams.
Yeah, you
blocks.
Know, he's that guy who wears, I forget, dadgummit, what is it that, the one that wears the armband in volleyball? My daughter played forever. I'm sorry, I don't know.
It's like
it.
The Libario or something?
Yeah,
or what the
Babetto or something like that.
I think it's Libario.
LeBaron. What is it, kids?
It's Libario, or I'm saying that wrong, but it's close, right? Yeah, she's
something
the,
like that. She was,
kind of
yeah.
The captain, right?
Yeah, kind of, you
who?
Know.
Who?
The
someone will
Barbaretta
us.
Or whatever it is.
The Red Barchetta.
Something like that.
What's
yeah.
What?
Trey is the guy who's gets way
volleyball
back.
Dad out there will let us know because
yeah,
his daughter probably was, whatever
I
that
know.
Is, and he'll spell it right.
Babetto or something like that. I
let
understand.
Us know in volleyball.
Yeah, that's what Trey is. Trey is the one who's in the back. They don't let him get near the net. He's not the one who...
I thought he was Maverick.
No, he's Goose. He does the diving.
Not the Bolero. Stop with that.
It's not the Bolero either. It's, yeah, Trey's not the guy at the den. He's not the big, tall dude that spikes it into your face. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
There it is, Libero,
L-A-B-E-R-O. Yeah, okay, yeah, Trey's the guy who does the diving for the ones that he really can't get to, but he dives anyway. The ball that's out at least 5 yards away, but he's going to give it that fake effort like, damn, you were close. No, you were never damn close at all. That's Trey. And then he gets up, and he's got all that sand on his chest. And then Goose comes over and wipes the sand off of his chest. That is so cool.
So he's the try really hard guy?
That's because I'll pay for that later on. He is. That's what Trey is. He's the try really hard guy. Like that picture of that young lady right there, where there's no ball in sight, but she's about to hit the ground. That ball is 20 yards past her, but try hard anyway. That's Trey. The try hard guy.
Got sand on me.
Look at
got my
sand.
Uniform dirty.
Look at the sand on my chest. Hey,
dirt bag.
Hey, come over here. Please, Maverick.
I will say
take this
point,
off my chest.
I did spend a little bit of time in Chicago on the Oak Street Beach where Trey Elling fancies himself the libero. Quite
that's
the volleyball.
Where you play pickup.
That is. They're all over the place.
The streets of New York, they're playing pickup games of 3-on-3, and there's Trey in Chicago at the beach.
At the Oak Street Beach, yeah. And then if you go up a little further to the Lincoln Park, they've
there's
got
a different kind of volleyball
everywhere.
There.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the cool thing about Chicago. You can ride your bike all over the place and go to those parks and play some volleyball, go from court to court. Yeah, man.
I don't know. I can still see Trey diving for balls that aren't even close. You almost had that one.
And
not
here,
really,
here from the NCAA.com website. This is the libero. Libero can often be thought of as an extension of the defensive specialist.
That's Trey.
The rules of the libero. So, sounds like a bad movie. That
I wish we had
like. Rules of the libero.
If we only had, like, you know, Mr. Potato Head, if we only had, like, a dress-up Trey and put, like, the uniform, the volleyball uniform on him. With the knee pads, the whole works.
What is the uniform? It's just like a swimsuit, right?
No,
you take
but,
your shirt off. That's why that show's called Shirts and Skins.
No,
like,
but
Trey likes to pull his shirt off and play volleyball.
But some of them have like little knee pads on. You know what I mean? Some elbow pads. You don't want to hit your bad elbow. You don't want to have farmer's elbow or whatever you get from slamming it into the sand.
Farmer's elbow.
You can get a lot of stuff from all that stuff.
You can get stuff.
You can.
You can.
You can get sand in your crack. I know that. I hate that. That's why I hate the beach.
Yeah, well,
I don't like
Oak Street Beach.
It is
a fine white sand that they've imported in. It's beautiful. It's very comfortable. You can lay on it and sit on it, and it gets hot. But Oak Street Beach.
Okay, stop with your stuff about Trey, please.
Yeah, we started that. I apologize. I'm watching men's volleyball right now, and these dudes are really good. I don't know if they have a libero, but they're playing well.
I gotta just think of all the sports that are at the summer games that you can just. Go ahead and bypass that you just don't. Once it's on, you flip it real quick.
Oh, there's a lot of them.
Besides soccer. I mean,
I think there's becoming too many sports. Synchronized diving. I mean, that's pretty awesome.
Hey, watch it. I don't know about the diving.
Synchronized swimming.
But that's the one you gotta watch. Come on. Holding that with a, having that little diaper pen, having that pen on your nose and doing it with the, that is hard.
Oh, it's very hard. I mean, yeah. Come on, it's an Olympic sport. They're all very hard.
Yeah.
They're all very difficult. And,
I can do without that one. Yes.
Yeah, there's several. Ping, yeah.
I do like the high dives and all that stuff in the Olympics.
You gonna watch
in
the golf?
Game. No, I'd rather watch the PGA Tour.
Well, somebody's going to win a gold medal. Justin Rose was the winner in 16 in Rio.
Yeah, he hasn't been the same since that win.
Hey, gold medal's a gold medal. All right, obviously we've talked about the Simone Biles conversation. It's been a passionate one for sure. My opinion is, let me just say it this way for Simone Biles. If someone of that level of accomplishment who has dealt with pressure, dealt with all of it, actually can't go, I have to give her, it would be like, you know, if Tiger Woods all of a sudden said, I can't go. I mean, she's the Tiger Woods of that sport, so I have to give her the benefit of the doubt.
Yep.
That in her own mind, she knows her body, she knows where she's at, and she couldn't go. And now I've read several, Michaela Maroney, who is a gold medal winning gymnast, had an interesting comment. She says, body glitches and mental blocks are the worst fear of every gymnast. She said, I've had a lot of fear with mental blocks. They are miserable. They're a gymnast's worst nightmare. They can end your career, and they've ended many careers. And I guess the comparison you could make it to is kind of like the yips in golf, right? If you just lose it and you can't trust yourself, which is something that Simone Biles said to her coach after her first vault yesterday, that you can see, right, if you get the in the sport of gymnastics and just remove that and say, you know, when Chuck Knobloch couldn't throw the ball to first base, you know, if you actually lose that and you can't explain why, you're going to say it's a mental issue, right? You're going to say it's a mental block, and it's going
right.
to come off as sounding corny. But again, this lady has accomplished unbelievable things in her career. And so for this to crop up, I think it's too simplistic to just say, well, she you know, didn't want to go today. I don't know. She's worked 5 years to get to this point, and this is the climax of a lot of work and time, and I guess I have to give her the benefit of the doubt that something's going on that I can't understand, but at the same time, I understand there's arguments on the other side, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue about that anymore. I'm done with my argument about team and all that, and, you know, Tiger plays for Tiger. Tiger doesn't play for
team. Well,
and
these are mostly individual athletes, right? They compete for the...
They have individual things that they compete in, and she's the greatest at all.
95% of the time, it's an individual sport, but in this, you compete with your team in the team competition. And, you know, but she didn't compete individually either. She's dropped out of that today. You know, she's not competing for the individual all-round. She cites the same exact reason.
And sure.
I guess that puts it in perspective for me in a different way, that if indeed you've lost the edge. Like before, you can't even explain why. She said yesterday, I was shaking. I have never felt like this before. And then, you know, she couldn't do her first vault, which actually counted, was bad. I mean, it was the lowest rated vault of anybody's, and her practice vault before it was even worse. So I guess
that's a bad day, isn't it?
Real bad.
Yeah.
And that's why I've said that I think the question becomes, why did she has to try to evaluate why she had a bad day. What happened? What led to?
Yeah, do that afterwards. Do that later on. Do that later on after you've gone out there and competed with your team. Do evaluate what went wrong. It wasn't a good day, but I'm going to give it my best. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I don't even want to talk about Simone Biles and what's going on. I'm not in her head. I'm just speaking on as an individual who's not been to that kind of level, but I know the people that are beside me are depending on me to give it my best. And even as a teammate, I'll explain that stuff after I compete, when the day's not so perfect, when my mind's not so there, I'm going to go get it. I'm going to try for you. I'm not going to start hugging you and say, hey, see y'all. I know that I've been the best and I've been the star, but it's just hard. I think that's a hard subject because mental health and mental awareness is tough. That's tough if you're not there, if that's not you. I'm just giving a personal opinion. Somebody said I've been, submissive of mental health. That's bull crap. That's bull crap. And, you know, that's not true. I have been talking about it. I deal with alcoholism. I deal with an addiction every day. I know some mental health things about wanting a drink, not wanting a drink, and what you have to go through. I do understand what that young lady has gone through for a lot of her life, being a foster kid and somebody not wanting you and things not happening. And she's got great parents. But I'm just not walking away from my teammates. I'll explain the other stuff later.
Well, I agree with what you're saying because that's how we've all been raised, and that's how you what you get into team sports for.
But I've never been into that level.
Right, and to that point, I'm going to listen to other gymnasts who say if you do get to that point, you can severely injure yourself if you just wing it and say, you know what, for my good of my team, I'm going to go.
Yeah, well, but the same people that are saying that, how many times have they walked away from there or they went through it? They can talk about having the yips, but how many of them actually really left? They can talk about it. The other young lady's talking about it. Did she ever quit in a competition because of it?
Or, you know, Michaela Maroney went on to say she was replaced a couple of times in competition by her coaches because she wasn't getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
And that you just and look, I will go again to if you watch them do these uneven bars and the tricks that they're doing or these vaults, if you have the mental block, you can kill yourself. You can break your neck. I mean, you literally can get severely injured if you don't have the trust, like a race car driver who won't.
All right, it's not the race. It's not a race car. It's not going into a burning building. It's not. I mean,
do you watch the aerial tricks these girls do on the uneven bars or the balance beam? I mean, you can suffer serious injury in that moment.
Absolutely.
And I have to take that into account too when you're talking about this conversation. But I give a champion like her the credit or the benefit of the doubt. If she'd never been here before and she was the favorite and then froze up, I mean, that might be a little bit different. But she's been to the mountaintop. She's done this over and over again.
There is no doubt that she's been under way more. She's been through a lot of nationals, a lot of world championships. She's the best in the world. She's the best gymnast there ever was, possibly. On a given moment, doesn't mean that you can't, in your mind, just do something that's, wow, that's really out of character. And as you said, maybe that's the mental health part of it. That's way out of character for her. But the others that have talked about it, have they truly themselves walked away from it with their teammates there, or did they just go ahead and do it?
I don't know. I don't know that answer. But between Allie Raisman and now Michaela Maroney, who are known names on the gymnastics scene.
There's going to be all kinds of people coming to her defense. You know that. Sports people will come to sports people's defense on anything.
They know the sport better than we do or better than anybody else, and if that's a common thing and it's the fear of all gymnasts that you lose your edge.
I mean, and someone says the yips, but I've never left the golf course because I got the yips.
I have. I couldn't hit the ball where I had no clue where it was going.
You actually left the golf course? Because, I mean, putting. No, I'm talking about the yips.
Oh, yips.
Just putting. You've never left the golf course because you're not putting.
I did. I actually had to stop around. I ran out of balls.
That's hitting. That's off the tee box.
Yeah,
that's hitting the ball.
But the yips the yips meaning the shanks. Yes. Ooh, I shouldn't say that word.
No, the putting, the yips, because you missed 2-footer. You keep missing 2. You don't walk off the damn golf course because you're having.
Well, I can't kill myself doing that either. But I can, if I get lost in my routine, I can break my leg. I can suffer severe back injury because I didn't catch the uneven bar on the way down from 25 feet in the air. I mean, those are serious injuries. So I'll give her the credit of a champion who had a bad day, and now she's got to figure out why.
I'm not taking one thing away from her credibility as a champ. She is a champ by far. I know there would be people that would treat Russell Wilson differently than they're treating this young lady right here, who is a professional. She's not an amateur. She makes just saw her in a commercial making money, by the way. I mean, she makes money. She's a professional.
She's the face of these Olympics. Going into
and she knows it. Believe me, she said it. I'm the star.
And maybe all that led to, you know, a panic attack of some kind. I don't know. Those are real things. I mean, people really have panic attacks. And maybe the pressure, not having her family there, she's in a bubble. It's a totally different environment than she's used to.
Yeah, I just.
COVID testing, all that goes into this. This is a different element than ever before. Who knows what leads to it. I'm going to.
You can never take away what she's done. I mean, it's incredible.
Correct.
It just is.
Also, Buck, I was looking at this as we talk about, I thought Horns 24/7 and 24/7 Sports did a great job. Each one of their analysts that cover the teams in the Big 12 wrote a little piece and a blurb on where it stands for them now that Texas and Oklahoma are moving to the SEC. And so kind of straight from on the ground. So in Lubbock, here's the story at Texas Tech. It says, the news that Oklahoma and Texas are reportedly ditching the Big 12 for the SEC has gone off like a nuclear blast in Lubbock. Red Raider fans worry about losing their place in a major conference table. It says, neither fan base nor Texas Tech administration appear interested in another reformed version of the Big 12. The consensus seems to be that joining the Pac-12 as some version of a super conference is a clear choice moving forward. That according to the guy at 24/7 that covers Texas Tech, that their favor would be, let's not cobble together some fifth level conference.
Don't do it.
Let's see if we can get ourselves into the Pac-12.
They're gone. People are going to go out of this conference as quick as they can. As soon as someone offers you a real live deal, like for, as we said, for a West Virginia or Kansas to the Big Ten or West Virginia to the ACC, they're nuts not to take it.
Yeah. The Texas Tech needs that. And, you know, and then there's Baylor. This says conversations will also occur through back channels with the ACC and the Big Ten to see if they want a national champion from the men's basketball joining their conference. A fit with the Pac-12 is difficult to see for Baylor, mainly due to that conference's lack of affinity for religious-affiliated institutions. Still, the Bears are a much better candidate than they were a decade ago with new facilities, investments in the program, and success with now 4 basketball national championships and 2 Big 12 conference titles in the past 8 years. You know, Baylor's the one. Would that make sense for you in the ACC?
Yeah, for sure. Baylor, West Virginia, right?
To the ACC?
Oh, yeah.
And see, that's where you would then wonder.
Basketball.
Where does that leave TCU? Would the ACC think of 3 schools?
Or
get
4?
2 in Texas, 1 in the Metroplex. Because, you know, it does feel like West Virginia and the ACC is natural with their ties to Virginia, Virginia Tech, Pittsburgh, already in that conference.
Yeah.
You know, Kansas and the Big Ten seems like a good mix. I'm more concerned for the Texas schools and Oklahoma State because they're the in-state schools that are getting left at the altar here. Maybe Oak State and Texas Tech to the Pac-12. I don't know.
You're like Texas. You're worried about these others, huh?
Well,
bye, y'all.
I know where they have. We have fans that listen to this show that care where they end up.
I know.
And
we got to talk about those schools too. We can't not talk about them when they go to other places too, because there are a lot of fans. Why are you here? Why did you listen to? Are you been listening to this show this morning or something that you just strolled in here slamming that huge monster door? As a professional show is going on?
That was an accident, and I have a bevy of volleyball players who alert me when things are being said about me specific to volleyball.
Hey, the volleyball community gathers for this.
It's like a bat signal. What are you talking about? Liberos? Why did my name come up here?
aren't you Lebrano? LeBron?
Libero.
Lebrano? Lebrano?
Libero.
Or something like that?
Libero. It's the most flexible piece on the court when you're talking about hardcore volleyball, but that's not my expertise. My expertise is sand volleyball.
Okay, is there a libero in sand volleyball?
There's no sand.
No,
there's
just
libero.
Two players. Each person, usually at the highest levels, there's a blocker and there's somebody who sits back and does a lot of the digging.
That's you.
It just depends on who my partner is.
No, just say it. That's you.
If I'm stuck with somebody who's 5'5" who can't jump, then I'm the blocker. Otherwise, I'm probably the person who's sitting back.
No, it doesn't matter if you're 5 foot,
trying to dig balls.
You're the guy who, when the ball is 30 yards away, you dive and everybody goes, great.
Good effort, Trey.
Trey.
Yeah.
Good
yeah. That's part of the fun of sand volleyball.
No!
It really is, getting dirty. Getting sand all over. You should see in my car. You'd think that I lived at the beach with as much sand as in my car.
I'm going to say.
You don't have to hit the ground. Listen, Goose. You don't have to hit the ground all the time. You can't get to that ball.
You got
to
dive to dig.
No.
Exactly.
No.
Aaron gets it.
You
got to
dig.
Aaron gets it.
No. But I'm talking about you're the guy who when the ball, when you think you can not only elevate yourself over the net, which you're barely able to get over, but you also think you can get the ball that's 10 yards away that hits the ground by you diving and people saying good effort. You really thought in your mind you were close. You were never close to that ball.
It's called hustling. I'm not going to Simone Biles my partner.
Oh, really?
But so when you're playing sand, you're playing 2-on-2?
2-on-2, yeah.
Okay, so that makes sense. You do have to dive.
Yeah.
Well,
it's a big court for 2 people.
Yeah.
I was at Oak Street Beach on Saturday, Trey. There's 6 people out there.
See, when you go play,
that's where
we
used
to play.
God, that's the best volleyball court on the planet. Right under the buildings. It's such a cool scene.
I always thought when you were going and telling me you're headed down to play volleyball, it was you, Goose, it was Maverick, it was Smitson, it was...
I'm glad you're recognizing me as Iceman, which is what I am on the court with my Val Kilmer good looks and my aviator shades.
That's going to draw a lot of attention before you have to leave.
Don't look at what Val Kilmer's like in modern day. That's not me. I'm not having to talk to the voice box.
Let me ask this again. So the female bathing suit that is kind of between a thong and a regular bathing suit, what is that called? That just barely covers the inner part of the cheek?
Is that like a teabag?
It doesn't go all. It's not like the thong part.
No, in your case, it's teabag.
You know what that's called? What is that? It's like they had a name for, but they're very popular in Chicago on the Oak Street Beach.
Wait a minute. Yes,
very popular.
Now that we've got you here, did you cut your teeth on the beaches of Chicago?
I did drink up.
Did you? Is that where it all began?
North Avenue Beach. Aaron probably walked north to North Avenue Beach and then Oak Street Beach, which is literally in the shadows.
Your team was not the Beach Boys, were they?
I mean, that might have been our
Surfing
name
USA, yeah.
One year.
Surfing.
That might have been.
Really?
Yeah.
You know,
right.
I called my team. You know, I kid because I can't, you know me, I can't do the push-up, although I've been working on it. You're going to find out that I'm going to get five. I'm going to get five before the football season. I'm getting five.
Dude, you can't even do the knee push-ups.
Nope, I'm getting
five. This guy had the gall to say that if he came upon a grizzly bear in nature, he would run away from the grizzly bear and climb up a tree if necessary. Do you think that this broken-ass dude is going to be running away from anything or climbing any trees?
Mm, like, if I'm out in the woods, I want to be with Buck.
I know this.
I can outrun him.
I know this. I won't leave my teammates
I may
behind.
Not be the fastest guy, but I'm right.
Good for you, Simone.
Buck.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be back. Your thoughts on all of those things. Also, my buddy Tom Gimble jumps in. He's got the live music update for the big weekend on tap. Final weekend of July is here. We'll get you the very, very latest. It's B&E, live, local, and digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Oh, man, it is a lively Wednesday. The Olympics going on. Of course, they're 15 hours ahead of us, so approaching midnight now in Tokyo. So the day's events are in the books. We'll be back at it tomorrow, but we've been a spirited conversation this morning on that topic. Also, the Big 12, what do the remaining eight teams do now moving forward? We'll pick that up as well. Texas and Oklahoma, remember the timeline. Tomorrow there is a vote. Or a meeting among the 14 SEC presidents, at which there is expected to be a vote, and by all accounts will be a 14-0 vote in the affirmative for Texas to join the SEC along with Oklahoma. And next step there would be a Friday meeting that has been called here in Austin for the University of Texas Board of Regents to certainly discuss and, you know, put their 2 cents from the local perspective on that. Board of Regents have to sign off on this move that has been engineered by the president and the chairman of that Board of Regents, Kevin Eltife. So that's all happening. And, but gosh, by the end of the week, this thing could be in the books as far as the votes go and everything that needs to happen from the protocol side of things. Things happening quickly. I was also told that at that Board of Regents meeting Friday, you can anticipate potential pay raise and extension for Texas baseball coach David Pierce. Volleyball coach Jarrett Elliott is in line for a bump as well, and maybe more. We'll see where that goes. And the official approval of the coaching staffs of Chris Beard and Steve Sarkisian, which still have to be, you know, pushed through for the calendar year and the academic year that will start coming up next month. So all that is out there. Good conversations this morning, and it is a Wednesday, and we drag you up over the hump, and on the other side of that hump is a live sports weekend, but also a live music weekend. And look who it is, Tom Gimble, the general manager of the Austin City Limits television show, joining us on the Vaqueros Hotline with the best shows of the week if you're going to get out and see some live music in the end of July into August. Hello, Tom. It's been a bit. You were on vacation. We were on vacation. How are you?
I am doing well, E. How are you?
Doing great. How was Garth Brooks? I know since I've talked to you last, you guys at ACL-TV and certainly KLRU PBS Austin had an unbelievable event with the one and only Garth Brooks to say goodbye to Studio 6A.
It was one of the most special two music performances that I've seen in, you know, over 30 years of being in the music world. You know, I said this to our team during a meeting yesterday where we were just kind of recapping and looking back. I said, you know, there have been better guitar players on that Studio 6A stage. I mean, certainly we've had B.B. King and Stevie Ray Vaughan and you name it. And I said, there's been better singers. But there has not been a better performer, a better artist who connects with people. And Garth just has this way about him of whether he is playing a stadium with 90,000 people or Studio 6A in front of 200 people. He feels like he is singing directly to you, connecting directly to you. And it is such a unique gift that he has. And each night was unique. because the set list was dictated by the questions and comments from the fans in the audience.
Oh, wow.
And it was really a conversation with Garth Brooks. He did cover songs. He talked about Trisha Yearwood. He talked about his heroes, James Taylor and Dan Fogelberg and Billy Joel. And man, it was just so cool. And we are so grateful to everybody who came out. And these were high dollar tickets because it is supporting Austin PBS. We are leaving the University of Texas campus after over 50 years as our home and moving to the new ACC Highland Mall campus. And that is an expensive proposition for a nonprofit public television station. So Garth Brooks helped us raise a lot of money, and we're really grateful to him and his team. And again, to all the fans who came out and supported those two nights. It was bittersweet to say goodbye to Studio 6A, the home of Austin City Limits for 36 years. Now, of course, we're in our shiny new home at ACL Live at the Moody Theater, and we're not going anywhere. That is just a palace and a great place to see live music, including an incredible show tonight.
Yeah, you guys have a taping. By the way, before you mention the taping, Tom, and give us your favorite picks for the weekend, and our audience, their favorite picks for the weekend for live music, will we ever see any video of the Garth Brooks performance, or was that exclusive to the folks there?
That was exclusive to the folks there. There were some photographs taken, but at Garth's request, that was not going to be televised. That was a special event
awesome. For
the people in the audience. So it was just a really unique experience and something really, really special. I can't think of a better way to say farewell to the legendary Studio 6A.
One day you'll tell me what the final song was that he sang. Was it the River, River, or what?
I'll tell you, the last song played on the Studio 6A stage was The Dance.
The Dance, okay, awesome.
Yeah.
Gave me chills. I thought it would be that or the River, maybe the River winds down. Hey, Tom, all right, so a taping tonight at ACL TV. What's it all about? And then people can watch it if they're not going to the event, and then your favorite shows for the week.
That's right. You can watch it tonight. We're going to be taping at ACL Live with Charlie Crockett, who is from San Benito, Texas. He's country, Americana, really cool. Has a great buzz going right now. I mean, everybody's talking about Charlie Crockett, so we're excited about that. That's 8 p.m. tonight, and you can watch a free stream on the ACL TV YouTube page. So if you can't be there in person, you can watch and tune in to see Charlie Crockett taping live tonight, and we're all looking forward to that one. He is fantastic. There's also some good live music around town. It's a double bill of a couple artists from the Chicago area. Lewis the Child and Kay Flay are actually doing two nights, Wednesday and Thursday night, at Stubbs Amphitheater. So that's an outdoor show tonight. And also outdoors, a second night of Blues on the Green. Blues on the Green returned last night with an incredible show curated by Gary Clark Jr. that featured Jimmy Vaughn and many others. And tonight you're going to see Mobley, and Kalu and the Electric Joint, among others. And that's 8 p.m. It's free, and it's at Zilker Park. So a great Austin tradition. And, of course, with COVID and everything, it was not the normal schedule that we would have. You know, we didn't have Blues on the Green last year, but it's great to see it returning. It's a great tradition here in town. So that's pretty cool. Tomorrow night, there is a band called Dragon Smoke, and they are kind of a New Orleans supergroup. And it features Ivan Neville, Robert Mercurio, Eric Lindell, and Stanton Moore. These guys are all tremendous players, and when they get together, they go by Dragon Smoke. And you can see them at Antone's tomorrow night. The one and only Rodney Crowell, 70 years young and still doing it. He is going to be at the O4 Center down on South Lamar on Friday night. And Josh Abbott Band is going to be out at the Backyard Amphitheater. And then back in town, we've got Jason Mraz coming back to the Stubbs Amphitheater. You know, Jason Mraz had some huge hits and he will be performing The Remedy and many others at Stubbs Amphitheater on Friday. If you are a fan of progressive rock, particularly kind of the prog rock from the 70s, one of the godfathers is a band called King Crimson. And King Crimson, featuring Adrian Belew and Robert Fripp, is going to be at HEB Center at Cedar Park. And opening for them is a group called California Guitar Trio, which are three virtuoso guitar players. Ironically, none from California. One from Salt Lake City, Utah, one from Belgium, and one from Japan. But they all met at a course that Robert Fripp was teaching, and they formed this incredible group called the California Guitar Trio. And you can see all that HEB Center at Cedar Park on Saturday. Austin's own Tamika Jones is going to be at Lambert's. And then if you want to tune in to Austin City Limits this week, we're showing an encore episode, and we call this one Texas Icons, and it's a tribute to Jerry Jeff Walker and Billy Joe Shaver, both of whom passed away during the COVID pandemic. And we highlight their careers. They both played multiple times on Austin City Limits. They both played multiple times on that Studio 6A stage. And this is a retrospective featuring all their best songs from their time at Austin City Limits. And then our live music week wraps up with a good one. If you ever get a chance to see Dale Watson at the Continental Club on a Monday night, although Dale now calls Memphis home, he's back in Austin, and it's always a treat when you get to see him at the Continental Club. So it's a really good week of live music. We got some great touring acts coming through with Josh Abbott and Jason Mraz. We've got the Lewis the Child K. Flay show. You got Blues on the Green and Austin City Limits taping. Texas is going to the SEC. Olympics are on. Life is good.
Yeah, SEC bound for the Longhorns, which I know you love as a Longhorn graduate, Tom. That'll be next year, hopefully, as we cross our fingers. But 38 days now to the first Texas football game for this year. So a lot of good things happening. And a quick reminder, Coke Fest, our sister station down the hall, hosting Coke Fest next weekend. So that'll be part of the live music calendar next Wednesday. But if you're looking for great opportunities, go to CokeFM.com or CokeFest.com to get those tickets. And if you go to CokeFM.com, check out the website there. They've got opportunities to win tickets to Coke Fest next weekend, week from Friday and Saturday out at the Hutto Park at Brushy Creek. So great stuff. And when you're out for live music this weekend, watching sports, watching Olympics, do it with a nice cold Bud Light or Bud Light Seltzer. Tom, thanks so much, my friend.
Always my pleasure. We'll look forward to talking to you next week.
As always, Tom Gimble, bottom of the 9 o'clock hour every Wednesday to get you into your weekend as we drag you up over that hump. And we know you love your sports, but your live music is back and better than ever in the live music capital of the world. And, yeah, that Garth Brooks show would have been once in a lifetime to see Garth in such an intimate environment. And that's it for Studio 6A. But Coke Fest, remember that? CokeFest.com. Get those tickets if you want to be there. I'll be out there on August 6th and 7th at the Hutto Park at Brushy Creek having a Bud Light and watching some great Texas country music. Our team down the hall there and in our building at Coke FM do an incredible job of putting on that 2 days of music. We're really looking forward to that. Coming back, we'll wrap it up, hand it off to Light the Tower. Very special guest host in with Jeff Howe today. Will be a familiar name and voice to these airwaves. We'll let you know who that is next.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Good stuff this morning. Appreciate Ari Temkin. Ari was with us back in the 6 o'clock hour from SiriusXM's Big 12 Today, weighing in on the Longhorn and Oklahoma move to the SEC, what it means for the rest of the Big 12. He talks about it on a daily basis. That was fun. We missed that. It was 6:30. Also, the great Bobby Burton was with us for 20 minutes or so in the 8 o'clock hour, talking about the Longhorns. He's been doing this 30 years and the whirlwind activity of this week. That was good as well. That's at 8 o'clock and Tom Gimble. With that live music update, you can miss any part of the show, the Simone Biles debate, the Longhorn conversation, the latest and the greatest, and the interviews. Always go to hornfm.com. Website always your spot. We podcast each and every one and all the things we do on all of our local shows. And speaking of local shows, next up, top of the hour, we'll hand the baton to Light the Tower. That's with Jeff Howe and a very special guest host today with Craig Way on vacation, Chip Brown. Chip Brown will be in the house from Horns 24/7, of course, and used to be a colleague here and across the street as well. Always insightful. So Chip will be a guest today. So that's good. Then it's Shirts and Skins. Trey will talk volleyball with Chad.
Hope not.
Well, it's on right here. It's on in our studio. High level men's international volleyball.
That's right. Who sits here? Chad sits right here, and he looks at the Hallmark Channel.
I think they change it immediately. I know Jeff Howe. The first thing Jeff Howe does when he walks in the building is change your TV.
I know
TV.
Craig Way rolls his eyes at me as soon as he sees what's on that TV. Because he's seen them all.
There has to be.
By the way, he's seen all of the Little Houses on the Prairie. So when he sees that.
When he was a kid.
Well, he rolls his eyes at me like, I saw that one. I know who that is.
Well, I think we've all seen them. The thing about Craig Way, which separates him from all normal people, is he remembers them.
Yeah, like all the names of all the kids.
Yeah. Like, oh, Craig, like, I'll see an episode of something. I don't remember at all what happened. But
right.
Craig knows the plot, knows the characters.
Like the Hallmark Channel.
You know, so-and-so falls in a hole.
It's like the Hallmark love channels. You know what's going to happen. My wife says, you know what the ending is going to be, right? I'm like, yes.
Of course.
But it's still, we need to break down the story a little bit. And
you're
no, I have not seen.
Endings.
I have not seen all of Little House on the Prairie. And the other shows, I have not seen.
Little House on the Prairie didn't always end with a happy ending. That was one of the good things about it. Typically, like episode to episode, there were like cliffhangers, and I remember.
Now you've piqued my interest.
Yeah, they think Little House on the Prairie was not always wrapped up in a nice little bow. It was
nice,
Michael Landon, and you know they.
I didn't realize that. Something happened to the kids. They lose a leg or something like that.
Vague recollection. I think from watching my mother watch Little House on the Prairie when I was a kid was maybe the first time I saw her crying.
Really?
Yeah. I'm like 3, 4. She's watching Little House. In the mean streets of Akron, Ohio.
The mean streets. The other side of the track.
Oh, man. Dayton Place, man. We were on the cobblestone brick streets of Dayton Place.
Love the cobblestone.
And excited to have these conversations. So a lot going on today. Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Olympics will continue. We didn't mention USA basketball. We talked about it when they got beat, but they beat the hell out of Iran. I guess they should beat the hell out of Iran.
They probably should.
Do they play basketball? I guess they do. It's an international sport. But 120-66 today, as it were, in Tokyo, was the men's basketball score. So now they have to play the Czech Republic, and if they win that, they'll be in the medal round.
Somebody said Laura Ingalls went blind on Little House on the Prairie.
That is correct.
That may have been the crying when your mom cried. That may have been she went blind as a part of that.
Yeah, the oldest sister went blind, correct?
Said Laura, whoever Laura is. Laura's the star. She was the star of the Ingalls.
What do you call this sport? High rapids kayaking?
That's one I can do without right there. When you go between the things like you're like riding on a horse,
barrel racing. Think of slalom skiing in a kayak in a raging rapids.
That guy right there is one of the best in the world at doing it.
Well, they all are, right?
That's right.
The Olympics.
That's right. Nope. I would be drowned. That thing would be upside down and I'd be dead. No problem.
But it looks to me like the gates he's going through are not really there because maybe.
Wrong again, E. Mary went blind.
Oh,
there was
Mary
a Laura.
Went
Mary
blind.
Went blind.
Yeah, Mary was the oldest. Laura was the main character.
There
she
you
was
go.
The daughter.
Thank you very much.
They're
all
both
these.
Daughter.
Mary. Thank
Mary,
you, guys.
Mary,
appreciate
quite
it.
Contrary.
There you
sorry.
Go.
Hey, have a wonderful Wednesday, everybody. Tomorrow we know it'll be a buck off Thursday. More great guests coming, including Tyler Campbell. TC Speaks will be with
got
us
a big
tomorrow.
Event.
You've got that big event coming up, which we want to get you, make you aware of. We'll also have more and the very latest on the SEC's vote to bring us to approve Oklahoma and Texas to the conference. That'll be fun tomorrow. Some, we'll have your Buck Ons and Buck Offs. Buck, have a good Wednesday.
You too, bud.
Zay, outstanding work as always. You do the same, and we'll chat with you at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning on the Show of the People. Live, local, and digital, streaming on the Horn app, and always on your smart speaker and at hornfm.com.